So I was smoking a pipe. My cap was on backwards.
I was scrubbing a strap.
Whippet looked at me oddly last night.
Bloody woodbine fell out.
Made love to the budgie. Burst it.
And then
it's shooting off me dick.
and then it shat in me berry.
Fucking bastard. Season 3,
episode 16!
Welcome, people!
Welcome to Lug Radio.
Hello, we're back, we're bad. We're not black, and we are slightly mad.
I'm
well,
did
you
think of that, or did that just happen?
No, it's a lethal weapon, isn't it?
Is it?
It's a what?
I've got a lethal weapon.
Diplomatic immunity. So, what we're going to talk about on this fantastic show?
Well,
let's talk about...
No, go, come on.
Well, Matthew P. Revelle, what should we talk about?
Jonathan Edward James Bacon.
Thank you.
I reckon we should. I reckon we should have a parlay with Rory McGann, who's
a very interesting guy,
an Irish chap who is heading over to Senegal to take Linux to the masses.
It's Ethiopia.
I was going to say, it's not Senegal, is it?
Oh, Ethiopia.
It's Addis Ababa.
It's basically outside England, so...
Yeah, taking computers
He's
to
already
the,
outside England. He lives in Ireland.
Hello! That kind of
That's
counts.
Britain, though, isn't it?
Actually, a different country.
Yeah. Apparently, the Irish get really pissed off if you refer to, you know, if you sort of refer to this England as being the mainland.
Yeah. Well, yeah, understandably.
Well, yeah, I mean, I know. I mean,
you
it's,
can tell
it's bigger, isn't it? So it's the mainland.
Anyway.
I'm sure the French would be fully in agreement.
Stuart Marjorie Langridge.
No.
Marjorie doesn't start with an R.
Stuart Internal
what
Language.
What else have we got on this exciting show that's coming up?
I want to talk about the community.
Oh,
because we don't do that.
Yeah, we never talk about the community, do we?
No, we do
my not. Chin.
We're going to talk about a very exciting film release.
What is that, Adrian Penis Balshaw?
It is Elephant's Dream, and it's been released under... What license was it?
Emo, what license is it?
Emo! What license? It's the Creative Commons.
I believe it is.
It is, Creative Commons Attribution License. Pulp, you'll be turned into pulp. Is that what you want, Emo?
Pulp? Do you want pulp?
Stop it. Can't you tell we've only just watched it?
What the fuck are they going on about?
I just want to touch the phone.
I just want to answer the phone. Now, come on.
Touch the phone sounds like a new Channel 5 quiz show, doesn't it? Touch the phone.
They get 15 guys at one end of a tunnel, fill the tunnel with broken glass, and then put a phone at the other end and go, and then touch the phone. And
great song by Seraphidia. Anyway.
Touch the phone. In a song called Touch the
Phone. It's broken glass. Broken schmooken schmooken glass.
Wait, what's next like?
Hey, you are, man.
Brand new customers only.
Way, hey, man. Didn't he now?
Yeah, we're going to have a visit to the pub.
Jeff,
oh,
come
the
quick.
The Lug Radio pub.
On the roof.
I forgot about the Lug Radio pub.
The Lug Radio pub.
I mean, I'd forgotten that we were going to do the Lug Radio.
Our lovely new feature, Who Betty. How's that pronounced, Dave?
Betty.
I'd love that.
Okay, so let's go.
And let's not forget, before we continue, there's some hatred in the room
tonight.
There is. There's a black cloud, which is developed. Over
well, you have to balance the love from the last episode.
A black cloud has developed over my interviewer's lamp in the room.
Personally, I know where the black cloud emanated from. Eyes are looking at you here.
Yeah, Langridge.
Yeah.
What?
Right, come on, let's get on
with
it.
A lot of stuff in the world needs hating, I'm sorry.
Shall we get a boogaloo?
Let's rock on.
Boogaloo.
Hi Rory, it's Matthew, Jono, Stuart, Aid from Lug Radio here.
Hello!
Hello
there!
Now, Rory McGann, you are working with a charity in Ireland called Kamara, I understand. Tell us a bit about what you're doing.
Well, Kamara was set up to send refurbished computers from Ireland and, I suppose, anywhere else in the Western world to African educational institutions. Because, you know, nowadays we throw out a lot of computers that are still perfectly...
we do it all the time, actually.
Places like Africa and the rest of the developing or third world, they just don't really have all these computers. And, you know, they can be used a lot for educational goals. And I mean, when I told some of my friends about this, they were like, you know, should you not be sending them food instead of computers?
Well, that's a reasonable point.
Yeah, but I mean, they're not all starving, and as a sort of medium to long term goal, I mean, you can't just keep sending people over food. You got to give them the tools to get out of it themselves and to help themselves. You know, I mean, as they say, you give a man a fish, you feed him for a day. You teach a man to fish, yeah. There goes your monopoly on fishing.
Okay. Excellent. I mean, it sounds like a really interesting thing that you're doing. What are you personally getting out of it? I mean, I know that obviously being charitable is a nice thing, but is it what attracted you to taking part in this?
Well, one of the main things was just to see another part of the world and to experience a new culture, as well as the charity things. I mean, I'm just coming out of college and sort of, you know, young, idealistic and all that. And just the idea of seeing a part of the world that I probably wouldn't see normally is very appealing.
Yeah, cool.
Excellent, excellent.
What sort of, I mean, I'm curious about how this is actually going to work. I mean, what, do they have 240 volts over there? I mean, are you going to network them together? You know, how's this going to work?
No, well, perhaps on a local network or what, because, I mean, a lot of these schools, they wouldn't have internet access, unfortunately. Well, right. Yeah, anyway. So the goal is just get a room, set them all up, and look like a standard classroom. And just this allows you to teach the kids how to do it. I mean, we've Kamara has sent over other shipment to Kenya,
right.
And another fellow went over a few months back, and it was just like basic IT literacy and all that.
Sure. I'm still curious about the power. I mean, is there any conversion that you need to do? Do they?
Oh,
you know?
Right. Oh yeah, yeah. Well, we'll be setting that up as well. I mean, that's one of the things we have to make sure when we get into the schools, to make sure all the plugs and all that is working fine. Because I mean, we're not going to be sending this to, you know, shacks in the middle of the desert.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay. And what distro are you sending over with them?
Edubuntu on the Mac.
Ah, Edubuntu. Yeah. Oh, I see.
Good work. Fantastic. It sounds sounds pretty cool.
Cool. No, that's excellent. Are you not? Do you not need to get in more quickly? You need to get in the next sort of year or so, because otherwise, the one laptop per child people are going to give everyone a laptop, and then they won't need your computers.
Yeah, that's why we're going over in June, on June 19th. But that we don't know how long
that
thing will take.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, have you had any kind of support from the distros? I mean, obviously, we know that. Our friend and yours, Mark Shuttleworth, is very supportive of charity. Have you approached distributors and companies to help out?
Well, not any of the Linux distributions yet, no. I mean, Kamara has just recently started up.
Yeah.
And as far as I know, the Canonical or Shuttleworth Foundation or whatever,
yeah.
I think that only mainly deals with South Africa, whereas we're going to Ethiopia and Kenya.
Yeah.
But, you know, we haven't approached any of them. That's something we'd probably be doing in the future. Try to get more support from them, but we have approached other companies and stuff. I mean, that's where all our machines are coming from.
They're donations great.
from computers.
Do you think that I mean, obviously, like you say, you've not approached some of these companies, but do you suspect that people would be sort of amenable in terms of helping out with this sort of thing? Do you get the impression that people are wanting to support a cause such as yours?
Well, yes. I mean, It is charity, you know. We're helping schools. All
totally.
I mean,
yeah, it's great.
No one really can find fault with that. And from the Linux distributors themselves, I mean, they can obviously see the goal of kind of getting in there first before any other popular operating systems try to take the claim.
Not for you, Steve, then.
A question for you, kind of a more political question than technical question. Bringing computers to the sort of areas you're going to, what do you actually see it doing to the area, short, medium and long term? I mean, obviously there's kind of a thing where you say, okay, we will take computers now, and then 20 years from now, right, they'll all be in flying cars. I'm just not seeing what the bit in the middle is. I mean, obviously it'll help in a generic way, but how do you see it, what do you see it actually letting people do?
Well, the main thing is improving computer and technical literacy, because, as you know, a lot of programming jobs are outsourced to India. Who knows, in a while it could be Africa, or anywhere like that. So, you never know, and Ireland itself, a lot of the last 10, 15 years, the economy has done great on the backs of a lot of computer and IT companies investing here. So, who knows, it could help there.
Excellent, excellent.
Have you managed to get any kind of sponsorship from the big guys yet?
Well, no, mainly we've just been going for a sort of small-scale sponsorship. And that's another thing I want to mention, that we have a PayPal account kamara.ie/help.htm.
Right.
And if anyone wants to help us along financially, that
because
we have all the machines we need for the moment.
Cool.
They can donate there.
Do you have a slash get involved as well, in case totally people want to get involved? Like, how do people go out with you to Africa?
Oh, right, okay. Well, for myself and about 11 other people are going in June, so we're grand for that bunch. But obviously, if Kamara will not be just stopping at this, you could either go to kamara.ie, that's C-A-M-A-R-A.ie, and there's the information there. We've got a sort of base of operations in Dublin, and if anyone can just pop along there. There's times when our workshop is open. This is where that's when we sort of renovate all the machines and install Ubuntu on them and all. I mean, people are willing to come along and see how the whole operation is going.
Sounds cool.
The address and a little map is on the website as well.
Cool, so that's kamara.ie.
Yeah.
How important is it to you, or to Kamara in general, that it's Linux and free software that you're using it? Is it just convenient because it's free and runs on slightly older hardware, or is there more of a promotion of free software to the people that you're going to?
Good question.
Well, I mean, a lot of it is the fact that it's free and will work on all the hardware, and the fact that you can give a unified desktop experience to all the machines. So if you have one machine that was running Windows 95 and it's beside a Mac and they're all on the same desktop, so that makes education easier. Obviously, from one perspective, but also the fact that it is—I mean, charity and open source and Linux and all that—they've got the same kind of humanitarian,
you know, the ethical connection,
ethics behind them. You know, so it is—it just works well with the whole thing what we're trying to do. You know, there's no point in being charitable and helping, you know, an evil company.
Fantastic. I mean, just wrapping up. I mean, the impression I get is that there's going to be loads of people out there who would love to do this kind of thing, but can't necessarily justify taking time off to literally go out to, another country and help do this.
Okay.
How would you, I suspect people are listening to what you're doing now and getting all excited. How would you say they can get started helping people with charity, helping charities? I would spit it out if it wasn't for the fact that Abe seems to be miming masturbation in the corner of the room.
That's nuts. He certainly does.
I don't know
how that came up in that conversation, but
well, you said about getting excited.
Yeah, I think he was getting excited. Right, I'll start again, right? People are obviously going to be getting interested in helping the charitable use of open source and things like that. Mm-hmm. But they can't necessarily justify taking the time off to go to another country. Stop miming, please. How would you say people can get started with this sort of thing, in the short term?
Well, I mean, there's lots of things people can do to help. As I said, they could help give us money for all the flights and injections we've been getting. They could donate any old hardware that they'd have. Kamara doesn't need any right now, just for record. But, I mean, I'm sure there's organisations in other countries. They could, I mean, even the whole goal of Linux in education as well, that can be done a lot more locally as well.
Yeah.
So even if you work in a company and you're getting rid of a bunch of old machines, you know, there's all kinds of ways you could donate and help.
How much money do they need for an injection?
Yeah, how much money do they need?
We need to get about €1.5 each.
Right.
So that's the main cost is flights over to Addis Ababa. And
what was that? What did you just say?
Flights to where?
Addis Ababa. That's the capital of Ethiopia.
Oh, right, okay. I couldn't understand the stream of words that came out of your mouth second there.
We need, 1,500 euro. Mainly for the flights to Addis Ababa and and all the injections we've been getting for malaria and diphtheria and yellow fever and all this stuff.
Fantastic. Well, we don't do this often on Lug Radio, but I think it's time you got a round of applause from us, because we think you're doing a great thing.
Excellent.
Well done, that man.
And we really do applaud you. So thanks very much for coming on the show, and we hope to catch up with you in six months.
Good to find
you.
Definitely.
Kamara.ie, PayPal them.
Yeah, brilliant. Thanks, then. Take care.
All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
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 Every time someone does a rubbish impression, in the UK at least, it's of a particular character called Frank Spencer.
Yeah.
Google some others to have them. Yeah. And that leads us to name this segment... Betty! What we're going to do is we've got a little... A little bit of a quiz for
frog
you.
Frog in your throat?
Yeah, a little bit of a frog in my throat.
Bruno?
I'm not that way inclined. We've got a frog. No, we've got a competition, a bit of a quiz, right? Where we do an impression of a famous person.
Famous open source celebrity.
Or free software. Let's not forget the free software. That's free as in software. And you write in to show at lugradio.org and tell us who you think the,
who do
the
you
open
think
source
it is?
SaaS free software person is.
Oh, I've got the first one all queued up and ready to
go.
Yes.
We're going to make this one nice and easy, hopefully.
Yeah,
let's go.
Aid's doing the honours, so are you ready, Aid?
I most certainly am.
Here we go.
Oh, mate, what can I get you?
Hi, yes, I'd like an imperial pint of your English beer, please.
Okay, what kind of beer do you want?
Free beer. That's free, as in beer.
All right, we don't do any kind of...
Sorry, I can't hear you. Can you speak louder?
We don't do any kind of free beer.
I cannot understand you. Enunciate your vowels.
Carlsberg...
I cannot hear you.
Okay.
Are you not listening to me?
Yeah.
I cannot hear you.
Yeah, I am. Just this Carlsberg, Carlin, Budweiser...
You need to speak clearly. Slow down.
All right, mate.
So, who do you think it was?
Who could that have been?
I wonder, if I did do show at lugradio.org, I want to point out that I had nothing to do with thinking this segment up.
So, I'd like to point out that I spent ages trying to find an Ooh Betty sample on the internet and got nowhere.
Google completely let
to
us
the rescue.
Down. Well done,
well, I'm not surprised if you type in Ooh Betty and sound sample.
Yeah.
You know, don't get much better.
Even podcast singer didn't do it.
Hello. Yeah, what a shame. Anyway, send us in your answers. To the usual address on the
show at lugradio.org.
Ooh, Betty.
Elephant's Dream is one of the very first open source movies built completely with open source software, and that was the theme from the movie, which has recently been released in DVD.
Fantastic.
We've all just seen it.
Importantly, it's not just built with open source tools, but it's an open source movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, Creative Commons.
Yeah, Creative Commons.
You get all the Blender files and so on, everything you need to rebuild it.
I mean, a bit of background. The guy who wrote Blender, Ton Ruzendahl, founded the project and assembled a bunch of leading Blender artists together in Amsterdam to basically create an animated short. And it was originally called Machina, and it's now called Elephant's Dream. And I've just shown Matt it and showed Ak and Aid it earlier on, and it's...
And then we looked at the film, didn't we?
It's pretty amazing. It's about 12 minutes long.
Yeah. It's just incredible stuff. I mean, it's incredible considering it's really a first of its kind. You know, it was built entirely in Blender.
Yeah.
The textures were done in the GIMP, and it feels like a movie.
If you've got any doubt that open source tools are not up to the job, then watch this and you'll be proved wrong, because it really does that good.
I genuinely felt teary. I'm serious when I was watching it, because it was so beautiful.
Yeah.
And but not just because it was beautiful. I mean, the bloke's hair on his face and stuff like that was amazing, but he was looking at it thinking, man, this is open source software. Seriously, this is our community.
Yeah, man.
Obviously, I'm not talented enough to do that crap, but...
It's exciting, isn't it?
I could write a document about it.
You just think...
Open the control panel, yeah?
I just think... You just think to yourself, wow, look at what we can do. I mean, because we're so used to seeing cool software.
Look what talented people can do, by the way.
Yeah, exactly, but our talented people have chosen to be part of our community.
Yes. But the thing is,
And importantly, I mean, if you look at the software, they're all talented people doing it. It's nice to see there are talented people who are interested in open source and Creative Commons and free culture and so on, who are doing something other than hacking software.
Previously, we've said, why are there no open source artists? Well, we were on.
All four of them have been doing
they're
that for
They're incredibly talented, though. I mean, I'm just astounded. I mean, the music's brilliant. The animation, the attention to detail. And you think of how long that must have taken to render.
Yeah.
I mean, people, where can they download it from, the film?
If you go to orange.blender.org, that's where the website is.
As we record this, it's being hammered shitless.
Yes.
By the way, so
we just went there and they've taken down the site and put like a very basic HTML page up with the links to the download because it's getting hammered to shit.
Yeah, but you can download it. Our friendly neighbourhood Bacon bought the DVD in order to support the project.
Good boy. They did this thing to support the project. I mean, they got some funding from like the you know, the Netherlands Arts Council and places like that. And,
right.
And Montevideo, which is a place in Amsterdam where they have their, had their studio.
Argentina, isn't it? Or Chile or something.
And they, but they didn't have quite enough money, so they needed to basically have people place pre-orders for the DVDs.
Like brilliant.
And you got in there.
And I placed a pre-order and, like many other people, and it's obviously, you know, it's obviously helped support the project, and it's helped Blender push it along. I mean, for example, Ton Roosendaal just built entire chunks of software. He rewrote the entire animation system in it, you know, because it was obviously being stress tested to shit, you know, because this is like pretty advanced use of it. But, and the other thing that I thought was quite cool is not only did you have these artists working on it, but for the textures, they put a call out to the community for people to make textures.
Yeah, it was in the GIMP, wasn't it?
Yeah, so they did it in the GIMP, and that's just, I mean, that, it really is community collaboration.
And the sounds, I mean, like one at the beginning of this segment was, you know, they're all under Creative Commons attribution license.
Yeah.
So, first of all, we could use them in the show. Hurrah, which is excellent.
It's just, I just think it's such a, it does make you proud to be an open source person to see something like that happen, because it is pretty beautiful stuff.
The thing I thought was interesting was watching it. I mean, I looked at a few things and I thought, well, maybe the animation's not quite as good there as it could be. But I wasn't critiquing it like it was some kind of noddy open source project. I was critiquing it like I would critique a Pixar film.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think it...
Yeah, you hadn't lowered your standards.
No, exactly. It doesn't advance the state of the art in animated filmmaking or anything.
I think it's amazing.
But it is amazing. That's the point. It's roughly commensurate with other films. If Elephant's Dream had been an entire film, an entire hour and a half film, apart from the fact that it's mad and surreal.
It's nuts, yeah.
Mad as a kipper.
If it was like a nice film about, you know, like a little clownfish who gets separated from his dad, say, then I'd quite happily take my daughter to see it, and I think she'd like it. And she wouldn't come out going, well, that was weird, Dad, I didn't like that.
Yeah.
And that was great. It feels like a real
film. It feels
thing.
Like a proper film. I mean, at the beginning when it first kicks off, and you see, like, the, obviously, if you've not seen the film, this is going to be new to you, but you can go and download it.
Emo!
But there's loads of these, right at the beginning of the film, these wires sort of shoot into the side of the wall, and you think to yourself, wow, this, and the score is amazing, you think, this is a fucking proper movie. It feels, and it's got the atmosphere of a problem, particularly if you've got the sound up big, and you know.
You've got a studio to listen to.
The thing I'd love to see. The thing I'd absolutely love to see, 10, 15 years from now, people saying, well, yeah, all this started with Elephant's Dream.
On
the one hand, people might say, well, yeah, that's the first open source film and the only open source film. It was a hell of a lot of work. And you get a certain amount of respect for how hard the Pixar people work on this kind of thing as well.
Yeah. But I mean, apart from...
Could be a beginning.
Everybody loves Eric Raymond, the animated movie. What happens next? What do you reckon is going to come next? Do you think this will be like, almost like a... For studios, this could be a technology demonstration.
I think that was part of the intention behind, part of it is to show off Blender in a real proper situation. Because with Blender, I mean, I've been tracking, I'm by no means an artist, but I find Blender fascinating and I keep an eye on it. And I've seen lots of little animated shorts. And when they looked for artists to come on the project, they evaluated lots of these little animated shorts. There's a site called, I think it's Elysian or Elysium.
Right.
.com or .net something, which is just full of Blender artists, and they show off these amazing pictures of, like, sports cars that they've done it. Like, Jimac did one recently.
Yeah, 959, I think.
And you just think, fucking hell, this is incredible. But I know that Ton Roosendaal he's saying that he'd like to do it again, and he'd like to do another one, maybe a longer film. Mm. And I really think this could be the start of something new, because...
I tell you what, I mean, if you think three people, was it three people did this?
Eh?
Three people?
I think it was five.
Five artists, yeah. I think.
And they're like compared to the whole of Pixar.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, part of what Pixar have got, and if you watch the film, you understand this. I mean, I think it's a very good film, and technically it's very excellent and everything, but you can see why Pixar pay good money to their screenwriters, as well
writers
as...
Are
and
very
their, and their voice talent,
yeah, yeah,
as well. But, you know, I mean, that's not really a problem with the film as such.
Yeah.
No, I
don't think.
And I mean, seriously, I mean, you see things that are worse scripted on the BBC at late at night sometimes, in the name of art.
The thing I found interesting was, obviously being a part of the open source community and being a journalist, I've interviewed people for stuff, and I've typically been to very technical places. I've been to someone's office where they've got loads of computers lying around and scraps of paper and all the rest of it. Whereas I did an interview with them. I went to the studio in Amsterdam.
Project Orange.
Yeah, and it was so surreal because
an interview for who?
I went and interviewed the team, the Project Orange team for Linux User.
Oh right,
and Scott. It took he's a mad photographer nutter, my boss, and he's actually got, in fact, a pimp for him. He's got a blog called Misplaced Pixel, And if you like photography, go and check it out. He's an amazing photographer. But anyway, went and did this interview and went in there. And it was weird because I knew it was an open source project and I've known Ton for a while, but I didn't know what to expect in terms of going into this different environment. And it was so surreal seeing this open source bunch of people, but there's art everywhere on the walls and they've got clay models and stuff like that and loads of computers all over the place. It was a real kind of bizarre environment, but you know, it was great to see something like that happen on such a grassroots level.
Like, last week, we mentioned, I think it was last week, how being part of the open source community is a little bit like the glory days of the Amiga community.
Yeah.
And this reminds me of the days when you used to get on the front of your Amiga format, a 3.5-inch floppy, which had some great animation from some Norwegian bloke called Tobias or something like that. And it's fantastic. It's just, it's
similar to moving on. I think it kind of segues with your next segment as well.
It does, actually.
Oh, come on then.
Oh, we want to go straight into
it. Let's do it.
This is a first!
Wow, no breaking between the segments.
Can we?
Dum 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 dum
dum dum dum dum dum dum dum dum dum dum
dum dum dum Okay, new segment.
You got to update the show notes with that.
No, I haven't.
/ new segment.
Right. I saw a thing, it was on Ars Technica, I think, but it was reported all
over. Asshole Technica.
Reported all over the news.
Quality.
About, Google complaining at Microsoft because they were going to make the IE7 search default to MSN search. Now, I'm not really interested about whether, that was the right thing to do or the wrong thing to do for Google. Don't care, everyone talks about Google too much anyway. But
Including us.
The thing I thought was interesting was that it struck me that big companies like Microsoft are not really going to get the fact that the Firefox Foundation, the Mozilla Foundation, will deliberately pimp someone else's product, a separate company's product, Google in this case. You know, it's their default search engine. Mm. Equally, Google will push Firefox to their users. You know, and they're completely unconnected companies. You know, they've not necessarily got anything to do with one another, but they push one another's products anyway. Now,
is it
most companies, if someone else built, a third party company built something, a web browser, for instance, and they didn't have a search engine to point it at, then they wouldn't kind of put a search in or something like that. You pretend that products you can't offer don't exist. Yeah. You know, rather than deliberately pushing another company's product, which companies in general don't do. And I wonder whether it's a big strength of the open source community that sometimes, at least, you can treat the whole lot of it as like one big company.
I think part
and
of Google's...
You are pointing to your own product.
Yeah, I mean, certainly within the open source world, but I think I wouldn't call Google really part of the open source community.
No. I'm not suggesting that Google are doing it for altruistic reasons, necessarily. They felt
The reason that they're pushing Firefox, I reckon anyway, is because it's, you know, you become united in the face of a common enemy.
Yeah,
and
that's what I thought.
If Google were in a position of monopoly in the way that Microsoft are in terms of desktop software, they wouldn't be linking out tell people to download Firefox. They'd be developing their own Firefox.
Yeah. I mean, I'd say as well, I mean, a lot of people rat on at Google because Google seem to be doing a lot of really good things, and I know we don't want to talk about Google too much, but they're doing a lot of good things, and I think people deliberately want to find fault in that.
Yes.
Because they're starting to get a bit big now. Yeah, I think people just don't like seeing someone else doing particularly well, so they've got to find fault in it.
Absolutely.
And guilty of the politics of envy.
Yes.
As our friend Maggie Thatcher told us.
And I think that, to be fair to Google, they look for good technology, and I think they identify that Firefox is great technology and a great browser, and they support that because of it. I mean, if you look at that Google pack that they do, you know, and they've got like bits of open source and bits of other stuff, they pick open source software that they think will be useful to other people.
It will be interesting to see as they grow whether they continue to do that.
You say as they grow, I mean, they are pretty huge already, but I mean, the reason that they're able to do that is because they're in the face of common enemy, like I say. I'm not saying that that's the only reason they do it, but I think the reason they're able to, because it kind of changes the whole marketplace. Everyone has to look at working together, and then obviously it makes sense to work together because, you know, if they didn't, say, use open standards for the chat on gTalk, then why would you use gTalk?
I suspect we can credit Chris DeBona for this kind of stuff, since he's been at Google.
Yeah. Right.
I suspect he champions a lot of this stuff.
You don't necessarily have to think about Google. I mean, there was an announcement today about Sun starting to champion Ubuntu. I don't know how much they're going to do
it,
or whatever.
That's a purely commercial thing, because they realise that if they only offer Solaris, that puts them in a niche.
Yeah, but on the other hand, they're prepared to champion another company's product.
You mean rather than trying again to do their own distro, which failed?
Yeah, exactly. That's the point. I mean, that's just makes sense, people have partnerships all the time. No, but that's the point. It's not just a partnership, because the whole lot of companies involved in open source can essentially do what partnerships do without having to have some big kind of secret agreement and then say, if you push my product, I'll push yours, and so on. I mean, Sony push Ubuntu without Canonical endorsing any Sun products at all.
Because they feel they find it to be useful.
I mean, Microsoft aren't going to start pushing
someone
else's...
But they are getting a whole free operating system out of it, Sun. Yeah, it's not like they're doing it because...
I'm not necessarily suggesting that everyone's doing it because they're all long-haired, grass-smoking hippies who want to help the world.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But the point is that because things are open, you have the opportunity of acting as one common, as one single entity. The entire open source community can act as a single concerted entity.
I don't think that's so much of the issue. I think the thing with Sun as well is that, where I thought it was interesting, and I think Act kind of sort of headed towards this kind of point, is that what was interesting about that thing was that Schwartz stood up and said, Ubuntu is basically one of the best Linux distributions. Instead of just saying stand up and saying yes, Ubuntu will work with our hardware, he actually proclaimed that it was a better than good thing.
Apart from the fact that you can't cross the Schwartz, I mean,
because that would be bad.
But the point is that that's not just making a partnership. That's championing something. And for someone of his level to champion something, that's, I'd say, reasonably significant.
If I'm General Motors, right? And I produce a new Vauxhall car.
Not in England.
Yeah, well, okay. and I want to put some tyres on it. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to find a tyre manufacturer and say, oh, Goodyear, they're brilliant, they're excellent. I'm going to champion Goodyear tyres in all the material that I give to my new car.
That's exactly the point. What you'll do is, if you're General Motors, you make a new Vauxhall car and you want to champion Goodyear tyres, you'll go to Goodyear and say, we'll champion Goodyear tyres if you pay us 500 million quid. And if Goodyear say, we're not going to pay that, then you go to Firestone.
Fine. I realise there's a commercial agreement there, but the point is that just because there might not be any money changing hands between Canonical and Sun, doesn't mean that Sun are doing championing Ubuntu out of the goodness of the heart. So they're not going to say, well, hey, look, we've got this Linux that you can run. It's all right.
Oh, I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm entirely convinced that Shuttleworth has been over and spoke to Sun and made agreements. And, you know, apparently in the report that I read, Shuttleworth was up on stage championing Java.
Yeah, exactly.
Because at the end of the day, if Ubuntu can run on Sun hardware, and there's a lot of Sun hardware sold, that's good for Ubuntu. I'd say the difference is that instead of Sun just saying, our hardware will work with Ubuntu, it was championed. Because the thing is, when something's championed, that can stand in the way of other partnerships. That can stand in the way of a partnership with Red Hat, a partnership with Linspire, or someone like that.
But the beauty of it is, it doesn't necessarily have to. If you're General Motors and you go to Goodyear, and take money from them, then can't really push Firestone hard later
that.
On.
I understand
But you
that.
Can push both Ubuntu and Red Hat if you're Sun. We're quite happy to work with either of these two.
Yeah, I just don't see what's... I think it's fantastic, and I do love the fact that companies within the open source space are more likely to work with one another. But I just don't, on this particular point of Sun championing Ubuntu, I don't see it as any great shakes, because, yeah, Ubuntu's great.
I'm not talking in general about this one particular point.
I was just trying to pick that as an example of the thing. I think it's a different way of companies working together than there has historically been, with companies who are basically out for themselves and only prepared to either...
Well, by definition, they are just working together.
Yeah. They're trying to pretend that other companies either don't exist or championing the ones who pay you for the privilege.
I'd say it's a maturity in open source in some ways, because traditionally, certainly 2-3 years ago, if someone wanted to make some kind of partnership with another company, they'd form a coalition, like United Linux or something like that. And they generally... Correct me if I'm wrong from anyone who's involved with it, but they generally went nowhere.
Yeah.
Now, people have collaborated for years in terms of software. You know, we all share each other's fucking milk and put it in each other's distributions. That's fair enough. But this is a brand thing. Saying that Sun
the Sun brand will work with the Ubuntu brand, and the Ubuntu brand is championed on Sun hardware. I think it's a reasonably big deal. I don't think it makes any difference to most of us lot, but...
No, but I'm interested to know, maybe I'm labouring the point, but I really want to get to the nub of this, because I don't quite get what is special. What's special open source wise about one company standing on stage and saying that the product of another company is great to work with their hardware because, hey, it's going to sell them more kit.
I don't think there's anything massively special about it.
The thing which amazes me about it is that they're prepared to say, here is an operating system that runs on our hardware, and we make operating systems for our hardware, but you might want to use this one instead that we don't make.
It's commercial reality, though, because...
There aren't many commercial companies that do that.
I think the point that Ack's making is that most companies don't have an idea of that commercial reality, is that most companies will only look at their own solutions.
Yeah, okay, which is kind of cannibalistic almost, because they're just going to... Well, not cannibalistic, but they're just going to...
Auto-cannibalistic.
Yeah, yeah.
Patrick Finch about this, and he said, and he's
Paddy Finch.
Paddy Finch.
Hello, Paddy.
Hello there, Paddy Finch
from Amsterdam.
Anyway, Patrick Finch. Should we do it again?
Paddy Finch.
He said that there is room in the fucking field for more than one player, and because he works with Solaris a lot.
Yeah.
And I think he was. As far as he's concerned, it improves choice. And he said that this is another example of some becoming more of an open source company. And when I know this might sound a bit naive, but when he says things to me, a lot of the time we're speaking very personally to each other, as friends. Yeah. And I believe a lot of what he says. I think they are genuinely.
No, I mean,
trying to become more of an open source company.
I think the important point is not necessarily the reason that it's happening, whether it's because everyone's all free love or whether it's because everyone's united against the common enemy that is Microsoft or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
The point is, it's a different way of working. I think I think it might only be a subtle difference, but it's still a different way of working from the way companies work at the moment. And I think a lot of commercial companies have difficulty understanding that way of working, and therefore that's conceivably an advantage for us.
Well, Darwinism,
that was a big segment, wasn't it?
Wasn't it?
Hey, it was cool, though. We don't do that chopping and changing thing very much.
Last word.
Last word.
Itis.
Ah.
Mother.
Right, we've got a kind of a mini segment coming up.
Yeah.
Possibly a maxi segment.
It's got a lot of scope, to be honest.
On the last show, I think we started talking and evangelising about what we really liked about open source community.
All the great things that are in the community.
So, this week we're going to discuss what we think is probably not so good. And we're going to call this segment, That Shit, That Is.
Yeah. This segment is designed for us to just name things where it happens and you go,
things
that shit, that is.
Things that really piss you off
and
about the community.
We don't have to go into detail or justify anything.
Mindless hatred
from the radio community.
So this just a massive outpouring of file from the radio to you, the community.
Enjoy.
Sit back and enjoy. Pointless shit thing number one. Vi versus Emacs. Fuck off, I don't care.
Nobody fucking cares,
Just
one!
Just use whatever you like then! Who cares?
Even better, use Nano.
Stop it! Next!
Fucking editor wars, at all, just fucking fuck off! No one cares!
Wait, is this just open source, is this things in general? Can we just lay into anything?
I get pissed off with sausages that have loads of breadcrumbs in.
I absolutely hate cats, you see.
I'm allergic to them.
You really hate cats, don't you?
I really cannot stand cats.
Really pisses you off that they demand to have their own door, doesn't it?
Yes. Arrogance, you see.
I thought you meant like cats out of zero, Wing. Okay, and said, how are you, gentlemen? All your base are belong to us.
No, but... No, it's just cats.
Someone set us up the bomb.
In fact, I hate that as well.
No, that's quality.
People sit there and say, I'm gonna
fucking cotton pick in a second. Cats, right? There's one particular thing that pisses me off about cats, right? Dogs, fine. Walk around, tails down generally. Yeah. Cats, no. Tails right up. You can see what looks like the inside of a sausage roll. It's disgusting. It's like horrific meat.
I find it a lot more pleasant when I see a dog, normally it keeps its arse concealed, but then occasionally it unconceals it and then sticks its fucking tongue up in it. Fuck that noise.
Right? Dogs who lick their nuts and okay.
Right, next mindless hatred thing, Mr. Revelle.
Little stupid kids in their teenage bedrooms who grab onto an idea and can't see beyond some political free software philosophy that they've just got.
It's a real pain, isn't it? Yeah.
That'd be me, that would. Yeah. I think if we rename this segment, that's great, that.
No, what, but like,
coloured lights on the bonnet of cars. You know, the little tiny lights.
Oh, yeah. For fuck.
Especially,
coloured lights on laptops.
No, that's
so
cool.
So you've got a laptop that looks like fucking Blackpool Illuminations every time you turn it on.
Them spinny hubcaps.
Oh, no. They're shite. Oh, my goodness.
The Birmingham New Road.
This is supposed to broadly be about software, people.
I hate slippers.
Oh, I love slippers. They're great.
I've never liked slippers.
Did you eat one or two?
When you start wearing slippers, it says something about your life.
I think
you tend to sort of dissolve into beige.
It's more when you stop getting hit by slippers. It's the
Matt's childhood opens up again.
Like the dogs. In fact.
Bring it back, Bugzilla.
What?
Bugzilla.
You hate Bugzilla?
Submit your bugs.
It's just I quite like Bugzilla.
It's like, yeah, let's get everybody, you know, users of open source to submit their bugs. It's a really great way of contributing, and then they're confronted with Bugzilla, which is just a mammoth...
Gnome people fixed it.
The gnome people did fix it, and it's really good.
I tell you what, the problem with that is they put into you that you mustn't submit a bug that somebody else has already submitted, so please search.
Yep.
And the search is shit.
Yeah.
So you do the best you can to search and you can't find it. So you submit a bug, 0.1 milliseconds later, someone's clipping your own ear saying, oh, it's just the same as this bug in here.
Duplicate your shit.
Yep, there you go. Something else I know. Massively disproportionate bollocking.
Yeah. Flame wars, yeah.
Yeah, stuff where you did a tiny thing wrong because you didn't know and the whole fucking universe.
You use capital letters! You're gonna die!
And you know that the bloke who's giving you the bollocking is wearing his... jeans up to his
just
nipples.
Under his nipples. Yeah. People who wear jeans up to their nipples. Grammar flames.
Fucking people. Business at the front, party at the back. People.
Oh,
they fucking annoy me. Get your fucking hair sorted. Sort it out.
Fucking hairdo. They're a disaster.
People with gnome beards.
I tell you what I hate.
People with just a beard under their
chin. Yeah. All the face is cleanly shaven. It's got a gnome beard at the bottom.
Shut up. Yeah.
What about people, beard?
People with carrot coloured beards. Websites that have got beta written in the top left hand corner and a gradient at the top.
Yeah.
That pisses
nothing
me
wrong
out.
With gradients. See money website.
I saw a thing about someone said, how do I make my website 2.0? And someone said, put a gradient filter.
So, are we beginning to run out of stuff, are we?
No.
No.
I believe Ack could have a whole hour on his own.
Not even slightly. People who piss and moan about KDE. People who piss and moan
that's
about...
Us. Hang on. That's us.
Now, sorry, people who piss and moan about the difference between KDE and GNOME and which one you should use. Don't care.
Yeah. Use what you want to use.
Don't people care. Who go on and on and on about how they're so much better than everyone else because they use Slackware.
People who say...
Or fucking Gentoo ricers.
Yeah,
Gentoo ricers.
Yeah, things I hate, rice.
Driving gloves.
them leather steering wheel covers.
Is there an equivalent in the coding world? You have coding gloves.
It's just like, it's a fucking steering wheel, for God's sake. It really doesn't require gloves.
Them honestly, keyboards... Where it's like you stick your hand in and you've got like switches and it looks nothing like a keyboard that costs $1,500. You seen them?
Matt's special masturbation station.
You're not talking about the Microsoft keyboard that splits in half.
No, they're like these weird ones where you sort of flick some dials and stuff instead of typing. It's for RSI.
Is this in real life?
Oh, really? Like a cording keyboard? They're a shit idea.
I'll tell you one thing that really pisses me off. Fireworks. I absolutely
tell me
cannot
about it.
Stand fireworks.
By Macromedia. Are we talking about Macromedia? Actual real sort of
No, actual things that chavs get excited about, you know, put
give
it in a milk bottle,
to twat.
Set it off, and cost me money on the taxes for the NHS.
Yeah.
I fucking hate. Fireworks are just... It's just...
I really like
bombs
fireworks.
For chaps.
Fireworks... Are you talking about people buying their own fireworks?
Yes.
Or public fireworks?
I don't mind
fireworks.
Public
fireworks.
Buying their own.
Right, people buy their own fireworks, yeah, okay, I'll give
completely
you that.
Legal, it should be.
Yeah, it should be made legal.
Is there any open source software for controlling the release of fireworks?
No. Here's the thing that pisses me off. Right? Unless I have my monitor switched on during my boot process... Ubuntu goes into 640x480.
Shitty laptop monitor mode,
Yeah. And that's on a normal desktop.
Zinaron is never working anywhere, ever.
Is that a laptop mode issue, by the way? Because he's using a desktop. So how could he solve that?
Nay idea.
Right.
No, no idea. No fucking knows. Other things I hate, going into an IRC channel, asking a question, and no one saying anything for 8 fucking hours.
Another thing I hate is going into an IRC channel that's meant to be about something, and everyone's like just like chatting like their mates and stuff. And all you want.
Yeah, bastards.
There's no way to get
in. How dare they be friendly with each other?
People are not allowed to be fucking friends unless they're friends with me. Only I am allowed to be friends with people.
You know how we fixed the clipboard? Because we bitched and moaned about it until they actually fixed it. Well, new project. Make fucking wireless work, for God's sake. I have to drop to the command line every time at iwconfig, encryption off, blah, blah, blah. Just make it work. It can't be that hard.
So when you're trying to set up your wireless and you're having problems, One thing I hate is when you're trying to solve a problem, you type the problem into Google and then you see a mailing list post written by you 6 months ago asking exactly the same question with no response.
Things I hate, be the top hit on Google for a question. searching Google for something, think I've got a really serious problem, finding the top hit is my own frigging website asking the same thing a year ago. Or searching Google for something and finding 40,000 posts on different forums of people saying, how do I solve this problem? And no fucker answering them.
Are we all feeling calmer?
There's just a dark cloud in the room. Right?
I feel it's clearing.
I feel cleansed in some way.
Do you? I could go on for fucking hours.
Well, go on then.
Dude, you have issues.
Give us some more.
Really, things I hate. Right, I hate the fact that everyone pimps loads of new technology that never fucking works. I hate the fact that people say, oh, you can get this, you just have to download it and compile it out of CVS, but we're not going to give you any documentation, we're not going to tell you how any of it works or anything like that, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Surely you just join the mailing list, join the IRC, you know, just talk to people there, but they won't fucking answer you, will they? No, because they're all too fucking busy.
Yep, I hate people who make grand predictions. I know we all make grand predictions.
That's us.
So, in essence, I hate ourselves as well. But people, not mentioning names, certainly not anyone who I know personally, but someone on the internet who writes certain blogs. Cringely, basically.
Yeah, I thought this might be a cringely bollocking this
No, Cringely makes some really good comments.
Do they make you cringe?
And a load of shit as well.
Any
other bloggers that piss you off a bit?
Jason Kotke, because he's just massively famous for no reason.
Really?
Yeah, Heather Armstrong at Deuce.
That bloke has Star
massively
Trek.
Famous for no reason. Will Wheaton.
Oh, Will Wheaton.
Massively famous because he was in Star Trek.
Elizabeth Dyson.
Did she invent the vacuum
cleaner? James Dyson. That was James Dyson. Did she do Freeman Dyson?
Yeah, it's her daughter.
Really?
Yeah.
Wicked.
Goes on about being a web expert, but just is blatantly...
I suppose
people who go on about being web experts.
Well, yeah.
Tim Berners-Lee is a web expert. The rest of you, shut the fuck up.
I won't defame Elizabeth Dyson, but just people in general who claim to be web experts, but are not.
I can't think of anyone else.
People who claim expertise, but don't have any.
People who just want to be an expert.
Then again, I was going to say people who sort of theorise and talk bollocks about stuff that I don't really know about, but that would be the end of Lug Radio.
My coccyx, I broke it about 6 years ago.
Your cocksticks? Your cocksticks?
What does it stick to?
Jono's
monitor on his Mac, which keeps fucking turning off.
Cubase on the Mac for randomly stopping working and causing me to practically have a hemorrhoid earlier on.
Hemorrhage
from the hemorrhoid.
Yeah, other things I hate. Hemorrhoid.
I've developed a bum grape.
And your soul.
I've never had that. They must be horrible.
Anusol.
I've not had it.
Anusol.
Not me, I don't know. Well, it's the end of
the show,
quite a different show. And I think we'll crack.
Should we read out some emails?
Some emus.
Yes.
Emo!
I'm going to start with an email from William Anderson, otherwise known as...
Nero!
Now, he's asking for a comedy concession, and I don't believe we should give him one.
I think we should play loads of bagpipes over everything he says.
I actually think we should give him a free entry because he's an international visitor.
You mentioned bagpipes.
He has given quite a long list of reasons why he should actually have.
Pick the good ones.
Kickers with those reasons.
He said that he asked a comedy question to Mark Shuttleworth at last URL.
He did, which he did.
You just call it URL.
I did, by mistake, yeah. Made lots of Ubuntu noises down the phone. Do you remember that?
Yeah. Like many other people, to be honest.
Pointed out spelling errors to Jono. Is a comedy god, would fart in your face, has some small children and some puppies hostage, reads all of our blogs, and this is the bit, including AIDS, which is boring and smells of wee.
He's got a point there, to be honest.
Well, thanks. He can eat haggis, doesn't like Mondays, he can do a killer impression of Moss from the IT Crowd, looks like Kevin Smith, it goes on and on.
He does look like Kevin Smith.
Yeah, but he's fashioned himself to look like Kevin Smith, it's not natural.
Better than looking like Jason Mewes, isn't it? A bit. Looking a bit thin these days.
Has a red stapler on his desk, and he used to be over by the window.
Well, that's
what?
A reason, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah.
I moved a fucking stapler. Can I get in for free, please, or for 3 quid?
Most critically, I fixed the payment forms on the LRL06 reg page thing.
I think you should get a concession. Yeah.
Oh, definitely.
He's been a good all round bean.
Round's the right word, mate. let's carry on.
Thanks, Matt. Thanks for that.
Yeah, I've got one from...
Well, we can hardly
Sebastian
talk. Coming down south to look round in Wolverhampton.
Sebastian Salmon. I'm sure there was a TV programme for his
kids. Email one
Samyad.
Line long?
The Samyad, yeah.
The Samyad.
Five
you
children
are.
In it.
He says the subject line is the new tune. In capitals, he shouts at us, give us back the old one!
I suppose he referenced to our Mighty Pigeon Street tune, is it?
Do-do-do.
Go on. Email. Jono.
It's just one line.
No.
Bastard.
Jono, email.
Email. We've had an email from Michael Erskine, who's the official guy who can stick scissors through his tongue.
Official hardest man at Lug Radio Live 2005.
He is. Very nice chap he is. He sends an email saying, hi guys.
That was that box.
Did you break wind?
No, I didn't.
God. Aid Boffs on the show.
He's in charge of Boffs, isn't he?
Yeah.
Apparently. That's a Boff.
Mike.
It's like a goth.
It's like a shit goth. Michael Erskine sends an email saying, hi guys, I'm asking for a concession for Lug Radio Live.
You got one.
2006, on the grounds that I'll be bringing my MAME cabinet.
No way, he's bringing a MAME cabinet.
Where's he going to put it?
The impression I get is that he's bringing it in a big truck with loads of people crowded around the edge of it.
Wicked.
He's got
a refugee?
He's got something like 4,976 games inside it, and Ack made the valid point that he's got a very large garage full of ROMs, of course.
Of course,
It also ought to be pointed out...
He doesn't have to bring them with him, though, does he?
Monsieur Erskine, that because he's speaking, he gets in for free.
Yeah. What's he speaking about?
He's MAME cabinet.
Yep, we'll read out more details on Lug Radio Live in a bit. We've got lots of announcements.
Yes, we got an email here someone called Daniel Davis, who says he's talking about the argument he had about the GPL, so it's free. And he points out that GPL does mean no cost free, but it doesn't mean do what you want free, because you don't have the freedom to restrict other people's freedom.
Yeah,
okay.
How lovely.
Yeah, I'll finish by saying great show, but you're probably tired of hearing that, so crap show. Thanks a lot. And then he wants us to pay his airfare to Lug Radio Live from Japan.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll do that.
We'll pay you when you get here.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, mate.
Slap the post.
What we'll do is, you know, there's probably a curb outside your house here. Go stand on the curb, and then about half an hour after the show comes out, I'll drop by and give you airfare. If I don't come along immediately, I might be a little bit late. Just stay standing there on the curb.
Yeah, stand there, maybe naked. Okay, next.
Drinky Man writes in. No. You may recognise Drinky
Adam
Man
Sweet.
As
Adam.
A sometimes presenter.
All right, mate.
Oh, he says, all right.
All right. Adventure over.
Purely a bunch of hypotheticals. Possibly. Why?
It's not Claire Short.
So he said, these are his words, remember. With the frequent ass raping that Internet Explorer users get by daring to set foot near the net by virtue of it being a malware-infested shithole, should Microsoft, for the benefit of its users, basically he's asking, should Microsoft do away with IE and bundle Firefox?
Well, probably, but
it's not
and he kind of asks, is Firefox ready for that kind of exposure?
Would Firefox get as many vulnerabilities exposed as IE does?
No.
I don't think it would, and I think they'd be fixed quicker anyway.
Yep.
But it's never going to happen.
A similar and analogous question, should it rain beer? And if it did rain beer, would I be prepared to cope with that eventuality? And I was like, yes, it should rain beer. Yes, I'd be prepared to cope. No, it's not ever going to
my
happen.
Water butt would be interesting.
Tell you what, if it rained beer,
you'd never
want to
see your butt full of water.
You'd want to be that guy, that singer bloke from Aerosmith. He's got a massive mouth, hasn't he?
Steven Tyler.
Yeah.
That singer bloke.
Or his daughter, you know. Every time I see her, you think, Liv Tyler. Ooh, Liv Tyler. And then all I see is his face. It's just like, it's like that dude with a dress on.
You know? Dude looks like a lady.
Yeah.
So, here's
insulting
one.
Liv Tyler.
Yes. I am
she
one
is
of
the gorgeousness. Sorry.
Shut up.
That's Steven Tyler of Aerosmith.
Yeah, but if you fancy her, you basically fancy him.
I've never seen him. I've only ever seen her.
That makes it all right, then.
You've seen him, if you've seen her.
You've seen him.
She even had big feet, because she was in Lord of the Rings, and she was still fit.
She doesn't actually have elf ears, you know.
Doesn't she?
No.
Oh, okay.
He's not interested anymore.
Yeah, fuck that, then. anyway, Matthew's got an email.
Matthew Penis Revelle.
Thanks, Jonathan Edward. I am one of the many Andrew Smiths who keep emailing Lagradio.
Spline boy!
This one is from Toronto.
Lewis.
Oh, right.
Not going to be speaking to you on the next live meeting.
It begins with Andrew, doesn't it? Anyway,
this one is from Toronto, Canada.
Not Spline Boy at all, then, really.
You spatter.
He says how much he likes the show, and then he says, I would ask you to please read this on the show. There will be an install fest at Seneca College on the 3rd of June. Get your ass and the asses of your friends over there so we can put your Linux
Well, cut their asses off
machines.
And bring it with you.
More info at linux.senecacac.com. Oh.
Can you spell that?
Seneca Cac.
Linux.seneca.
Asking a tiny URL that for everyone.
On.car.
Isn't Seneca, like, stuff that kind
no,
of...
No, that's Senna.
All right. Loosens up
the... Next, yes, I know what you're going to say.
Of course it's got a zook. It's got a bowel release.
If you're not interested in what it does, read an email.
Senna is that stuff that, lets you into your
it's handbag. It's a racing car driver, isn't it?
The good thing about that stuff is that, you know...
Oh, it was, wasn't it?
You feel relief and then you can automatically blow leaves.
It's two-dimensional, isn't it?
Anyway,
Peter.
Oh, it's me, isn't it?
We've got shit uncovered.
You'll go, Jonathan Edward Danish Bacon.
Okay. We've had an email from Nick McMahon. He says, hi, a quick question. I started listening to your show at season 3, episode 14, and now I want to catch up all the way from season 1, episode 1, but it seems a bit unfair to download every single episode from you for free. Have you ever thought... What the hell was that?
It's mobile.
Okay, that's right. Then. He says, have you ever
Which
thought
was turned
about...
Off?
Have you ever thought about selling season CDs? I'm sure I'm not the only one interested in this.
Ask the team.
And I mean, it's something that we theoretically could do, but we're not really that bothered. Just go, we don't mind. Go and download it from our great mirrors.
We don't mind at all, but Brian Tiemann did put together a DVD of season one, and it didn't sell particularly well at Lug Radio Live, so... Well.
We gave it all.
You know, I mean, that's what we've got the Mirror Network for. It's there. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Just go ahead and download them.
Knock yourself out.
Doesn't cost us anything.
Surely listening to, like, loads of episodes of us back to back is going to do something to someone's brain.
Don't have, like, a Lug Radio weekend where they do nothing but listen to us for the whole time.
And you think, oh, my goodness.
Walk around and say bollocks to everything.
Next.
I'll do that all the time anyway. Lug Radio on the Road. Email from S. Schauenberg. He signs himself SWAT, S-W-A-T. Although his name's SWAT Schauenberg. He says, I enjoy listening to Lug Radio on the road on my old trustworthy MP3 player. It's a strange... he can even fall asleep while listening to us. It's a strange feeling when you wake up and you still hear discussions about open source and Linux.
Imagine waking up hearing your whiny voice.
And then he says, it's about Lug Radio Live. Why do I need to take the train from London for fucking 2.5 hours to get to Wolverhampton? Because that's how far away Wolverhampton is from London. There's not a lot we can do about
that. Yeah.
There is. We can sort that out. We can get him into Mr. Shuttleworth's shiny gold helicopter.
Right. He says, what's the fastest/cheapest way to get to London from Wolverhampton? The fastest way is to be
launched from a cannon?
And the cheapest way is to walk. Basically, you've got to go on the train, really. Yeah. There's no real way
Stop
of getting from
being
London
a lazy
to Wolverhampton.
Shit.
National Express.
Except on the, oh, you can go in the coach, can't
that
you?
That takes you about 6 hours.
Yeah, National Express will be massively, massively cheaper.
Jump on the train, you'll get there in a couple of hours, just put your feet up and...
Yes, yeah, we know it takes 2.5 hours. We did ask Wolverhampton if it would move closer to London, but they weren't interested.
Yeah.
So and you also, have to come all the way up where we are.
We have it in Wolverhampton for a reason. That's because there's too much going on.
Because it's not in friggin' London, yeah.
And the other thing is, it's really central. So people from Scotland...
Can't be it! Yeah. It's really central if you're in Birmingham.
It's central to you.
It's central in this great aisle that we're in.
Yeah, the centre of Wolverhampton is centrally in between your house and Matt's house.
The centre as well, you know, I mean...
That's about right, actually.
Not in central England.
No, I was about to say, the centre of England is somewhere in Leicestershire. The centre of Britain is somewhere in bloody Cumbria.
It's reasonably central, isn't it? It's a lot more central than London is.
Anyway.
No, it is. To be
Have
honest.
A look at Google Maps.
Vance Greenway writes to the show.
That's not his real name, is
that? Bloody is.
Vance.
Bloody is,
yes.
Sir.
That's his name.
Okay. Van Helsing.
In your discussion what would happen when Microsoft went open source, you missed a very important point. You can't do anything with just an operating system. If Adobe Macromedia and others went open source, as well, then it would be useful. Otherwise, who cares? Now, we did actually say that the whole of Microsoft's product range would be open source, such as Office and the rest of it. But anyway, he goes
on... Surely you just take their open source operating system and install loads of existing open source on it?
Yeah. Yeah, well, he goes on to say you could move files around, blah, blah, blah. He says, I use Linux because there are a million unique reasons why people are building the software. This shows through in subtle but very human ways that make the software much more enjoyable for me. Greed has built many things in this world, but Linux is not one of them.
Interesting.
Just one very quick one. Michael Labovich, one of our American listeners.
He met him before.
Yes, in season 2, I think.
Oh, memory
he
man.
He says here. You guys made fun of my Debian love back in season 2, he says.
Ah.
He says, just very quick comment on novel or naval. He says, where we said that really... Well, Jono suggested that open source doesn't throw up so much research as people like Microsoft. He says, Bram Cohen, BitTorrent.
Ooh. Yep, interesting example.
That's a very good point.
I've got an email from Barbie, who's a good friend of ours.
Mr. Minger.
He is a Minger. He is a Pearl Minger.
He mings his pearls worldwide.
he does ming his pearls all over the place. He sent us in an email regarding YAPSE, which is the
Pearl Conference.
Yet another Pearl Conference thing.
Being held in Birmingham, I believe.
It is. It's in Birmingham. And Birmingham Pearl Mingers are running it. He's sent us in some details. Just to keep you updated, we have sent out the following.
Same price as Log Radio. No,
it's a lot more expensive.
You have to pay to get in.
You've got to pay about 90 quid to get in, haven't you? Something like that.
Oh, I won't be there.
It's expensive. Anyway.
90 quid for a day?
That's 2 days, I think.
Okay.
That makes it all right.
Yeah. we've got party with us.
Bear in mind that Log Radio Live costs a fiver, or £3 if you write into us.
Or three if you're international.
And we've got but go to YAPSE anyway, a really good Pearl Conference, yes it is.
And we've got over 40 speakers, and it's going to be awesome. Anyway, he says go to...
We're not biased at all, of course.
Well, go to YAPSE, nearly as good as Log Radio Live.
Anyway, if you are one of the many Pearl people who have converted this show into binary and are reading it right now, you need to go to www.birmingham2006.com. There's some details on there. You should also check out the Birmingham...
Just Birmingham2006.com.
Yep. And you also...
That's a bit of a land grab, isn't it?
It is.
It's just registered 2006.com. And go, yeah, there you go.
It is a little bit.
It was actually registered 2007.com.
I don't think you can because it's just numbers.
And then,
right.
And then head over to, you also want to go to http, Chris Waddle, wiki.birmingham2006.com to add stuff on the wiki. So.
Do you think that wiki would be Pearl powered?
Possibly.
More than possible, I would think.
I'll be massively shocked if it turns out to be MediaWiki, run by PHP.
It did amuse me. When we went to the Pearl Mingers meeting, and there was a certain amount of Python hatred there.
There was.
And then the next day I was looking through their website and discovered that they run Mailman, which is written in Python.
Yeah.
So there was an element of Let's talk about Luke Radio. We've got some extra confirmations. Talk about it for a second while I zoom the file.
Shall I have a chat about the exhibition there? Yeah?
Well, I was just going to say, I don't want to go through all the speakers list. Some guy did write in to say it would be useful if you could publish the schedule of when the speakers are coming on.
It's coming up.
Because we don't. Because he didn't know what time to turn up on the Saturday, what time to turn up on the Sunday.
We're not quite
ready to publish the full schedule of speakers yet, but we will be in the next week or two. But we have put on the Lug Radio Live site when the speaking starts, when it finishes for each of the two days.
Vehemently disagree. I think we should read out some of the speakers.
No, we always just read through the same names.
We've not read them out for a while, and we got a load more names.
Yeah, but then we're going to publish the thing in like a week.
We are.
Read them. That'll be the schedule.
Let's make it be a nice surprise.
Read them and weep.
Read them and weep. We need to publish the schedule. And it's not that much of a surprise because we've already got like a bunch of them publicised anyway.
Pronounce schedule anyway.
Right. Very quickly, right? Very quickly. Stop throwing BB guns, BB balls around.
It's like a cartoon up in it.
Right. So. In no particular order.
No particular order.
We've got Sarah Ewan from Sony. Can you fill in the details? Sarah Ewan.
Fit.
PlayStation 2, lady.
God. Don't be a dick.
I can't believe you just said that.
On PlayStation 2.
I think we're all disappointed in Aid right now.
We are.
Matt stands up to air his arse out again. Okay, so we've got Sarah Ewan. We've got Stephen Lamb from Microsoft is coming down to talk about security.
Not so fit.
Microsoft. We've got Michael Meeks. Simon, Open Office guy. Simon Phipps?
Sam.
We've got Simon Wilson talking about
Django.
Mark Shuttleworth.
Space.
Hello.
He's talking about Ubuntu.
He's not talking about space. He's talking about Canonical.
We've got something called the Hour of Power, which is going to remain a secret. Which is going to remain a secret. That's not done. Christian Schaller from GStreamer, Tom Steinberg from My Society and Pledge Bank, Mirko Muller coming down to talk about the amazing looking low fat.
I thought he was talking about little pots of rice.
Yeah, he's talking about Muller rice. Actually, he said to me a while back, please stop calling me German yogurt.
Oops. In that case, that was Matt who said that.
Can we just rewind that bit?
Mirko Muller, nothing at all to do with rice. Talking about low fat.
We've got, Danny O'Brien's coming down to do, a discussion session. Which is going to be interesting. We've got Martin van der Streek, it's Trinax, talking about Ubuntu. Matthew Block, talking about virtualization and bitmark. Ian Lynch is talking about the Open Document Fellowship. Bruno Bord is talking about this talk may contain swearing, which is the usual thing that we've been banging on about.
Yep.
Who? God, there's a lot of speakers. John Leach.
Yeah, everybody. Don't read out all the speakers. They were large.
Shut up. John Leach. Everybody loves Eric Raymond. Matthew Garrett. Linux and the Laptops. Barbie from Message Labs is coming down to talk about Perl. Alex Hudson is coming down to talk about Hula. We've got Bill Thompson is now confirmed to come and do another discussion thingy. Jonathan Riddell from KDE and Kubuntu, Elliot Smith, my pal from work, to talk about Ruby on Rails. Ewan Spence, the Scottish Nutter, is coming down to talk about something. Do we know what?
No, I'm just...
Your boss still coming down to talk about something?
Yeah, magically enough. Yep. No, Ewan Spence, we're just going to let him loose on the crowd for half an hour.
Which will be funny.
Jervis Markham.
Jervis Markham is coming down to talk about Mozilla, Scott James Remnant from Ubuntu, Mike Hearn talking about packaging and auto package.
Woo-hoo.
Steve Coast from OpenStreetMap, Edward Hervey from Pitavi, Paul Cooper, my boss, to talk about something.
Talk about anything he wants?
Yeah.
Would you believe it?
No, he's actually published something. It looks quite interesting, his talk. I can't remember what it was specifically, but it did look interesting.
And it wouldn't have mattered anyway, would it?
Yeah, not really, no. I'm basically a whore to anyone who gives me money. Hugh Lines is coming down to talk about grid computing. We've got Ted... is coming down to talk about Ted Hager or possibly Erin Brockovich.
What?
Ted said that him or someone called Erin might be coming down, so I made the assumption that it was Erin Brockovich. He's coming down to talk about something to do with managing Linux desktop systems. Bastard No Sierra
is coming. Yes, he is.
Norman Fedora, Richard Moore from IBM and Open Source. Even? Jonathan Haslam coming down to talk about D-Trace. Michael Dominic is newly confirmed.
Who's that?
The guy who wrote Diva. He's travelling over from Poland.
Oh, Diva Cup. Can I talk about Diva? I was seriously tempted to schedule his talk opposite Edward Hervey's for Pitavi.
Then we've got Kat Goodwin, Jen Phillips from Fated about women in open source, and we've got Seb Payne, who's about 6 years old, coming down to talk about iFolder.
Not 6 years old.
Is he the one who lives with his mum in a Prague hotel room?
Something along those lines. So
what did you just knock over?
I don't know. I heard a bang from behind me.
Empty can of Carlin.
Yes, oh, yeah. So wait with bated breath for the schedule, which will be published in the next couple of weeks.
Yes. So the schedule should be out fairly soon.
Yep.
If you imagine that it starts a certain time and ends at a certain time, then you can make up your own times.
Two whole days of fun.
Yep. It's going to be great.
Exhibition area's got some good stuff in as well. Yes. Creative Commons is going to be there. GNOME, Debian, KDE, Ubuntu.
Most
TV, Open Document Fellowship, Novell, Fedora, Open Solaris, I believe. Paddy Finch, can you confirm by email, please? Enterprise Groupware Solution Server thing.
Yeah.
Sonokian guys. And various other things like that. So if you want space in the exhibition area, I think we're pretty much full. But we could squeeze you in the corridor. So let us know.
Are we really full?
Pretty much based on the measuring we did the other day. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Cool. The exhibition area is full,
really. We've got space for, what?
Oh, Bite Mark will be there too.
15, 20 or so. Exhibitors, and we'll maybe cram some more in as well.
I need to update.
Certainly, if you want to come to the exhibition, let us know, and we'll fit you in somehow. Don't worry.
Yeah, we will get you in. Don't worry. Buffs.
We've got some buffs confirmed.
There are some buffs confirmed. Apparently,
Ubuntu's got one.
There are.
So yeah. So usability. So we've got a few buffs confirmed.
Hardware hacking.
Can you read it from there?
Show and tell.
Yeah. So we
Lug Radio meet and greet.
Hash Lug Radio meet and greet. Hardware hacking. Show and tell.
Yeah, there's one about how to contribute to open source.
Something about, there's a Linux user groups one run by Steve Dobson and Nick Butler, which is
who are they?
They're
Sussex
just
Lug.
Yeah, they just said that they'd like to volunteer just to sort of talk about how to get involved in lugs and things like that, yeah, which is quite interesting.
How to run a lug or how to be involved in a lug or whatever.
There's also been a big discussion on the Lugmaster, Twisted Lugmaster mailing list, about all the Lugmasters meeting up to talk about how lug.org.uk runs.
That'd be really cool. Which, that means Hugo Mills will be there.
Yeah, so it looks like Linus Torvalds with long hair.
Yeah.
There's Perlin News Groups run by Barbie. Ruby on Rails is... Ruby on Rails in actuality is run by Elliot Smith.
I'll be that one.
Susie Linux is going to be run by Ted the Stallion Hagar.
You know when Ted's around, you say Sousa, and when you're with us, you say Susie.
Do I?
What do you say in bed with Suze?
Baby.
Dave.
B-R-H.
Dave Linux.
Beat me harder.
Sousa. No, I've changed it. I used to say Susie, but I realise it's now actually Sousa, because everyone who ever works with Susie calls it Sousa. So it's Sousa.
Don't make him right.
And there's also been a discussion on the Ubuntu Users UK list about doing something that's been run by someone called TBA.
John Levin's running it.
Techno-Lydia.
Keep on about these boxes. They're just like little discussion sessions. So if you're interested in any of those things, just turn up and go along to that boff.
More importantly, if you just want to do your own, are there any spaces?
There's loads of space.
Loads of space for boffs.
I can't believe how busy I've been.
You've been incredibly busy, haven't you?
Yeah, you've organised all those boffs without even knowing what a boff is. I'm quite impressed, Dave. you know, lazy shit.
It's like a guff.
I just heard a noise in the distance as my chin ploughs into a small farm of ducklings.
Oh, and what are the lightning talk rooms called?
The one room has got carpet. And that's called beard. And the other room has got no carpet and just a shiny floor, and that's called chin.
Chin. Yes. Nice work.
So, yeah.
So chin and beard rooms.
that's in the beard room and that's in the chin room.
That's exactly what it's going to be. The main stage is just called the main stage. Sorry.
The other thing to point out is that the official hotel is pretty much sold out. We've got like 65, 70 rooms have been sold already.
People have got them in other hotels as well.
And I've rung up loads of hotels in Wolverhampton and got discount rates. If you go to the Lug Radio Live website and click on the accommodation link, you'll see all of the hotels that are available.
Yeah, probably best to avoid the fox.
So a couple of things there. One of the things that you might want to do is get involved with helping us to put together Lug Radio.
Yes, yes.
We've got tons of stuff that needs doing, and if you actually help a load, essentially, you'll get in for nothing.
Yeah. I mean, the things you can do include something simple like helping us direct speakers to the right place or making a cup of coffee for them right up to lugging stuff around. Mr. Ben, for example, said he'll come and help set up on the Friday a bit earlier. Stuff like that.
People need help with the LAN gaming.
Yeah, well, one of the things they need with the LAN gaming is monitors, because the people travelling to Lug Radio Live are bringing down loads of computers to do the LAN gaming but haven't got room for monitors as well.
So maybe if you're local, that could be useful.
Yeah, so if you're local to Wolverhampton or you're planning on travelling all the way here with your car, which has got lots of emptiness in it, you've got a TFT or whatever, then get in touch with the LAN gaming people.
Or
you have a van full of monitors that you've robbed.
Just nicked a load of monitors from Dabs.
If you just tea leaves a load of monitors, that's someone else's business.
The local call centre's just disappeared all the monitors.
Yeah, you know, I mean, get in touch with, best way to do that is to go to #lugradio on IRC.
Yep.
Or post to the forums at forums.lugradio.org. There are quite a few other things we'd like people to do, to get involved. Well, I've got a list on the Lug Radio wiki. wiki.lugradio.org of stuff you could help me out with, sort of custom Linux distributions for machines that will do things like live on IRC that we can put inside the machine, or machines that can allow you to post to a special weblog.
Yeah.
Things like that.
So IRCOS.
IRCOS. Yeah. So have a look on wiki.lugradio.org or the Lug Radio Live forum at forums.lugradio.org.
It's basically anybody can, if you want to get involved, there's so much stuff we can do. I mean, it's basically an open book. You know, there's loads we've had loads of ideas like an IRC box and a blogging box and some other bits and pieces. But if you've got a cool idea, let us know. The other thing is that we've got a big projector screen in the exhibition area. And it looks like we're probably going to be able to run a DVD that just loops on it. So if you can think of any interesting content that you want to maybe knock together and...
Emo.
We'll have to put 8-11 Stream on there. Open source related video content, you know, maybe Revolution OS and Elephant Stream, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, bear in mind it's got to be something that we're allowed to play. Yeah. So you can't just go, what I want to say is Die Hard.
Yeah. So if you think that, because, you know, that's a big screen that we could stick it on there. So,
Die Hard.
Die Hard 2, Die Hard. It was
Die Hardest.
That was the crap one where they got rid of John McTiernan.
Do you reckon he's going to do another one? It's going to need a bit of Viagra. Could maybe die a little bit harder. Anyway, shall we wrap
on
this?
On that cheery note.
Shall we wrap this show up?
Indeed.
If you want to contact us, show at lugradio.org, always a good place.
Yeah. And thanks to Nero and Mr. Ben and all the other people and Zalia who are helping out running the various servers and stuff like that with the Lug Radio Empire.
Yep.
Part of the magnificent Lug Radio community empire.
So, yes.
Well, it's been fun tonight.
It has.
We're late.
It's unbelievably late. Mind you, we didn't start for about 3 hours because of freaking Mac problems, so...
Good night, everyone.
Bye.
Thanks a lot. Bye.
Good night.